So this morning, we are going to begin with that question that you see on the screen. What is truth? You might remember that is the profound question that Pontius Pilate so famously asked Jesus when he was examining him before he signed off on his crucifixion and sent him to his death. What is truth? Does truth even exist? What do you think? Is there anything such as real truth? It's a question that has become increasingly difficult to answer in our life and times, hasn't it? You have your truth. I have my truth. Black is white. White is black. And increasingly, we are living in a world of uncertainty, a world of relativity, right? We now have what some people call fake news, while others say, no, it's true news. Which one is it? Don't answer that question. You know, we also have, I guess my phone's down there, but we have AI, right? Artificial intelligence with these generated deep fake photos that look so real, we can't even tell if what we're seeing is what we're seeing. And I could also take my phone and I could open that app called ChatGPT. Anyone have that app on their phone? Nobody? Okay, there's some people. It's an artificial intelligence app, and I could open it on my phone and I could ask it to write me a poem about my little dog Meadow in the style of William Shakespeare. All right, and it would spit out to me a jaunty little poem about my sweet schnauzer in 16th century language in just a moment. No human being needed. In fact, for all you know, I'm here kind of last minute. Maybe I had AI write this whole sermon. Some of you might remember an old ad. I'll test you. Is it real or is it Memorex? I heard it from over there. Is the climate changing or is it just natural cycling? Did COVID masks work or not? Did we ever really land on the moon? Are aliens visiting this planet? See, we can't believe what our eyes see or our ears hear. And I want to say that while some of it can be amusing, it is also increasingly disconcerting for us as human beings. And this profound uncertainty, I just want to underscore this. This uncertainty is not just something theoretical and floating out there. We are actually feeling the results all around us of this loss of grip on truth in real and painful ways. So, what is truth? I want to ask another question. Does the truth matter? Is it even important? One sci-fi writer said, reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away. Reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away. But as a culture, sometimes it feels like that everything real and solid and trustworthy has just disappeared. We stopped believing as a culture, and it all seems like it just went up in smoke, doesn't it? You know, when I was in grad school, before I went to seminary, the very first class I took was called, and I want you to notice these quotation marks, it was called Masterpieces of the Novel. And I will never forget that on the very first day of class, it was explained to all of us students that the word masterpieces was in quotes on purpose. Because we all needed to come to terms with the cold, hard, intellectual fact that there really is no such truth as masterpiece. Right? Because we needed to understand that the idea of a masterpiece is simply a human construct. Right, something that we made up, Everything, according to this professor, is just the same as everything else. And nothing is more worthy or better than anything else. So I got to tell you, that's dangerous thinking right there. Because by extension, I will tell you that if that is true, that also means there's no evil. And there's no good. Because those things too are just human constructs. And what horrors does that take us to? I think we're already getting a little nibble of some of the horrors that takes us to. Right? We know where that kind of thinking took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, does truth matter? You know, experts are constantly scratching their heads and wondering why our mental health is at an all-time low. And why our children seem so completely lost and adrift. Why the suicide rate among teens age 15 to 24 has jumped nearly 30% in the last 10 years. Here's an interesting quote from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. They say that our children are dying because for some reason, they have an unshakable feeling of dread, despair, loneliness, and hopelessness. Isn't that awful? Did you know that among U.S. high school students in 2023, that 40% of the high school students reported persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness in the past year? This is the one that really gets me. And that 20% of our high school students reported seriously considering attempting suicide in the last year. Whew. We have a whole generation of overstimulated sufferers who have grown up with all things artificial in a culture that preaches that we are all just this random assemblage of spontaneously generated bits with no deeper meaning or purpose, no truth. Can we understand why our children feel hopeless? So does the truth matter? If you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, there is just one answer. And Jesus said it himself. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And that means that Jesus is claiming to be the one reality that does not change, and that remains true. The anchor to all else that is. Even if or when we stop believing in him, Jesus is truth, the eternal personification of truth, the living proof that there is still such a thing as truth, no matter how much fuzzying up we are doing, trying to create our own imperfect impersonations of truth. You see, without truth, we human beings tumble into this gaping abyss of hopelessness. And that's why the truth matters. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, did she read scripture? This is a rather long preamble to where we're going today, but I think it's important to get our minds moving in this direction as we dip our toe into a tiny letter that you will find way back in your Bible. That letter we call 1 John. Because the first truth that John wants us to lay hold of, the truth, is that Jesus is the ultimate true thing. You see, John, Jesus' beloved disciple, who experienced so much with Jesus firsthand, John doesn't want us to even have a shred of fuzziness about Jesus. He wants us to have complete clarity, So much so that in the final chapter of this little letter, he explains his reason for writing it. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. John wants us to know the truth, because he also knows it is the truth that will set us free, that will save us from falling into the greedy abyss of hopelessness. And that to believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, is to live in the peace of eternal life. So let's listen now to the start of 1 John. It's toward the back of your Bible if you want to open up to that. Just four quick verses. Okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, as we've been talking about, sometimes we lose our grip on truth. I'm going to ask for another little hands. Maybe it'll be just the same folks in the back, but has anyone here ever used an Instagram or other social media filter? I know some of you have. Yep, there's some hands up there. All right. Well, some of these filters that you can apply to photos are funny or cute. Here's an example of a filter. That's a cute one. Some of them, I would say, are a little bit disturbing, right? That, to me, is disturbing. That's an actual person through a filter. And some others are a little deceptive. I don't necessarily mean in a bad way, but they are deceptive nonetheless. So here's a couple of examples. All right. So you can see the actual photo here on the left. And then it's gone through just such a little bit of a subtle filter, and you can see it's like the original, but slightly improved, right? Here's another one. You can flip-flop it here. You can see the reality on the right and what it looks like after the filter on the left, right? Those are two examples of just a bit of filter help. How about this one? I got to turn this way to point the clicker. All right. She says, I see you and raise you four filters, right? So she has her no edit up there, and then all these are different versions of herself that she could create with these filters. So you see how easy it is for us to get a distorted picture of what's real and what's not real. I mean, how are we to know when we look at these? They look mostly true. And the problem is that if we look at distortions of the truth long enough, we can start to forget they are not the real truth. And we begin to believe that we can make the truth whatever we want it to be. And that is dangerous. Do we ever do that with Jesus? After all these centuries that put so much distance between us and the real man who walked this earth, do we distort him and put him through whatever filter we think suits us to make the Jesus we want to see? Maybe it's the Jesus who's like a made-up fairy tale hero, this mere spiritual idea who teaches us how to be a good person for goodness sake. But you see, this filtering Jesus through our own lens, it's not unique to us. It actually started happening pretty quickly in the church. Because as time elapsed from his death, people started to forget that Jesus is real. Right? That he is the truth, not just a fairy-like figment of the imagination. And how do we know that that started to drift pretty early on? Because John is writing to address a threat that was infiltrating the early church. And it was false teaching by a group of people inside the church, and they were taking the good news message and distorting it just a little bit. It still had that kernel of truth, but in another way, it was denying the truth that Jesus is real and that Jesus being real matters. So as we read those first four verses, we can see the pains that John takes, all the reasons he gives to help us see the real Jesus and the hope of the eternal life that he brings. You know why I think he's at such pains to do that? Because life is hard, right? And believing in eternal life, when we are walking in this life, can be even harder, especially for those of us who were not around to see the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus in person, right? We didn't have the luxury of seeing it with our own eyes. But John and the other apostles did. So what we have here crystallized in these first four verses is their eyewitness account, the truth that they absolutely want to pass on to us. It is the chance for us to see through their eyes and believe. And so when John takes pen to paper, he wants us to know first that Jesus, the life, was there from the very beginning. In other words, Jesus is not a new or made-up truth. Jesus is from the beginning. And his life gives rise to every other life that is. Right? Jesus' life gives rise to every other life that is. And for us, that is hugely important because we are made in the image of our Creator. And when we lose that truth, that we are created beings and beloved beings, when we lose that truth, we are lost completely and just drifting through this world. Second, John wants us to know that he and others have had real experience on earth with Jesus. So he says, we have heard him. So literally, with our ears, we have seen him. With our eyes, we've looked upon him. We've touched him with our hands. What he's saying is that, people, you need to know that Jesus was to us a complete and multisensory reality. And Jesus is the word of life. All of those very real earth experiences showed us that he is the key to eternal life. And John, who is never, ever, ever shy about repeating things about Jesus over and over and over again, he will say it again. He says there's more, just in case you didn't get it the first time. Jesus was revealed to us. We have seen him, and we will absolutely raise our right hand and testify to it. We will proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was shown to us. We've seen it. We've heard it, we've touched it, and we will proclaim it from the mountaintops that Jesus is real. That's it. Now, I know that that may sound just too simple, but we need to know it because everything hinges on it, this idea, this truth that Jesus is real and that fellowship with Jesus and with our Heavenly Father through Jesus is what assures us of eternal life. And I'll tell you what else. Not only does this connection with Jesus connect us to the Father, but it also brings us into deep and real relationship with each other in a way that nothing else can. It takes those barriers that naturally divide us and breaks us down and brings us into the fellowship of like minds, a partnership and a participation like none other, because we begin to understand that all of us who believe in Jesus are sharing in the same truth. right? That our life, all of us, comes from the same source. And in the hope of that life, our joy is made complete. But it begins with the simple truth that Jesus is real. There's no fuzziness here, no distortion. One of the ways the early church tried to hang on to the truth, because, you know, it's easy to let it slip through your fingers. One of the ways they tried to hang on to the truth was to regularly repeat together the true things. They used creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, so that the core of the gospel truth would not become lost or muddied as it was handed on from generation to generation. So we're going to do that right now, too. We're going to confess what we believe using the Nicene Creed. Now, I don't know about any of you, but when I was a kid, we said the Apostles' Creed every week, and we just stood up and we said, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We're not going to do it like that. We're going to do it like we mean it, because it is the truth. It is the truth about Jesus, and truth matters, right? The truth will set us free. So I'm going to invite you to stand up, and together we're going to say together the truth that we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty. Did I miss it? Oh, we're a slide ahead. We're missing a slide. Okay, so go back it up. All right, leave it right there. I'm going to say the first bit for you, and then when we get to we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to join me with gusto, okay? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, from God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I want you to remember this week that Jesus is real. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.